Hi, everybody. Parshas Vayikra 5780. We have a lot to talk about over here, and there's quite a bit that we're going to be dealing with when it comes to this parsha. The first thing is the following. We're dealing with Perek Aleph Pasuk Yedalad. The Pasuk says, "V'mina of Ola Korban Ola Hashem." If from the birds your Ola is a Korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hikri v'mina Torim v'mina B'nei Yona es Korbano, then you should bring from the Turim or the B'nei Yona. From both of those, you can bring your korban. It could be from either one of those, from the Turim or from the B'nai Ona. That's what you could bring your korban itself. Now, the Malbim seems to say, just from this pasuk, and it seems pretty obvious, that these birds are two distinct types, that they're completely different from one another. Not just a younger version and an older version, that a Ben Yona is a tur when it gets older, which we do find sometimes. For example, like an aisle is known sometimes when it's younger, can be called something else, like a keves can then be known as its own or whatever. As it's younger, it's called a keves, and then it gets older. So to an eagle and then a par, something like that. This seems to be that it's completely two different animals. There is something called a tur and there's something called a ben yona. Never do we see the word ben being used by a tur. Never do we see the word yona being used on its own in this context. I realize that there's yona that's mentioned by Parshas Noach, but never is it used in this context. It must be that there are different birds, and therefore, just like the b'nei yona are only the young ones, the tur must only be the older ones. And that's how the Malbim understands it, but it's really based on the Gemara itself. The Torah Shlema has six pieces on this, and that's really what it is. The tur is known as a bird that travels, but does not necessarily migrate. But it is a traveling bird, one that goes into the fields. In Yirmiyahu Parakhes, he mentions them as coming into their land, right where they were standing, that the turim came into the land. A yona is very easy to domesticate and has a very high intelligence level, which again, we're going to talk about as things go on. Now, what I'm going to do for those people who are on Zoom, I realize this doesn't work for everybody, but I am going to bring you guys this, so that you can see the screen, what we're talking about right now. If you want to look it up, you're going to have to look up a little bit there. We're dealing with a turtle dove versus a rock dove, a common dove or a rock dove. So Rashi says the tur can only be brought as a korban when it is mature, but not when it is younger. The B'nai Yona, again, on the other hand, can only be brought when it's younger, but not when it's older. And that we just saw up in the Malbim itself, that they're two totally different animals, and that's how it goes. Both cannot be brought as korbanos. B'tchilas hatzihuv. This is what the Gemara in Chulin says. They can't be brought b'tchilas hatzihuv. That means when their feathers start to look bright and lighter. That's when the tur is young, the turtle dove is young, and when the yona is older. That's what Chulin Ayin Hei Mabei says. Over there it mentions an exact idea, something that's mentioned over here. The bird that we have on the screen that you have over here, the bird on the left is definitely problematic. It's got something that looks like a little bit of bright feathers around its neck. That's called Tchilas Hatziuv, and that's Pasul, because it's not yet the older tur. On the right-hand side, you see the regular pigeons. These pigeons are called rock doves, or common doves, are the regular pigeons that you see all over the place that are basically the rats of Manhattan, the rats of Chicago, and the rats of every city. These pigeons are so commonly found everywhere. Once you see the coloring on its neck, that's when they're pusil. They're pusil when it gets that way. When it's younger, it doesn't have that coloring on its neck, and that's when it's kosher as a korban. But at this point, it already is a scourge of everything, and therefore you cannot use it whatsoever. Now, Rav Sadia Gaon is the one that gives the translation for these words and how everybody says it. He's the one that says that a tur is a turtle dove. It is defined as the following line, Streptopilia tortur. That is the Latin name for it, which has bright stripes on its neck, which turn an iridescent red. That means like a very very showy type of red when it matures. It could be brought as a korban only when it turns that red color around its neck, according to the Gemara Chulin Chaf Beis Ma Beis, and the Rambam and Hilchos Isurei Bizbeach, Perikim Halacha Beis. The common dove, the rock dove, on the other hand, is identified as Columba Domestica, according to Chulin Sam Beis Ma Beis. And we know it is a pigeon. That's the regular pigeon that we have. So I'm going to take that off, guys. That looked great. But I'm going to stop the share for right now. But you saw those animals. You can look it up later if you want to. Obviously, we have to ask a question over here. And the question is, why these two birds are the only birds that are allowed to be brought as korbanos? By animals, we know it's sheep, goats, and cows. And the reason, according to the Ramban, is because they're the most commonly found. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to Dorache Darche Noam. We're not going to make you go out to the field to go capture deer and to go capture these wild goats and to go bring them as korbanos or buffalo and to be able to capture them. We're going to take something which is simply put right there for you. You can just pick it up and take it at any point. You have no problem whatsoever. You can just grab it and take it in for yourself. Since that's so obvious, it makes a ton of sense, really an absolute ton of sense, why those animals would be brought. But why these two? Why the common dove and this? If anything, take a chicken. Chickens were commonly found. Those are animals that are right there in front of you. Why wouldn't that be brought as a korban? If this idea is there, that it's supposed to be these types of animals, why wouldn't it be this itself? So, we're going to give a bunch of answers for this. The first one is the Chizkuni Reb Elazar ben Garmiza. The Chizkuni Reb Elazar ben Garmiza says, based on Bava Kama, Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, these two birds, the Yonah and the Tur, are chased after more than any bird in the world. That they are birds that are always prey for some of the bigger animals out there. I guess because they eat a lot, they become fatter, and therefore they're the awesomest birds to be able to have. So because of that, they're the ones who are used the absolute most. Since they're used the absolute most, and they're chased the absolute most, they're Redufin, the Gemara calls it. They're chased after all the time, Chizkuni. And Rabbi Elazar ben Garmiza says, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the fact that they're the ones being chased after. They were chosen as korbanos. That makes a ton of sense. Just like these domestic animals are the ones that always are Redufin. They're not fighters. They're the ones that are chased after. So too over here with the birds, you'll have the exact same idea. The Ramban, he says a little bit differently. These birds were extremely common. Very easy to catch. Just like the Torah chose domestic animals for that, because they're easy to find them. So to over here, these are the easiest ones to catch. A little different from the Chizkuni, Reb Elazar ben Garmiza. Their answer was that they're chased more than any other bird. Ramban's answer is not that they're chased more. It doesn't really matter if they're Redufin. They're the easiest to catch by far. The Rimi Vino, one of the Rishonim, says the Yonah was chosen because of its trustworthiness. We all know that when Noach needed a mission to be told, he brought out the Orev, and the Orev, the raven, did not go. The Yonah was sent instead, and therefore it went. It did exactly what it's told to do. It did not lie. It came back with exactly what it had to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves those that are trustworthy. Therefore, the Yonah is brought. The problem with that Rimi Vina is he doesn't explain the tour, and that would explain a Yonah, but not a Ben Yonah. Because we only say that a Ben Yonah is kosher. This idea would be applied for any Yonah, but it wouldn't apply for a Ben Yonah. So it's a strange answer. Nonetheless, it does work. The Ramban says the reason why turtle doves must be mature, this is an interesting line, and it's a famous, famous Ramban, is because they connect with their mate for life. That turtle doves will marry, mate with one bird. The male and the female will be together with one bird, and that's it. It never changes that. It remains that way for the rest of its life. It never remarries again. That's like our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never trade him in for another. God will never give him in for something else. The tur never trades in its mate, never does something like that. Pigeons, on the other hand, have a midah of jealousy. There's a jealousy midah by them, using the wording of the Ramban, and they're promiscuous, meaning once they get rid of their mate because they're jealous of it and they think that the mate did something wrong, they will immediately push it out and go to another bird. And because of that sounds horrible. If that's our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you're pushing out the mate and then taking someone else. That's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu saying to Klal Yisrael, I don't want you, I want something else instead. And that sounds horrible. We don't want that to be. We don't want that to happen. So therefore, says the Ramban, we don't have the older pigeons, we have the young ones. So the tur, which shows its ability to be with its mate at all times, that we take the older one. The pigeons, the Yonah, that don't do that, we only take the younger ones, not the older ones. That's the idea behind it when it comes down to over there. Bnei Yisrael has to feel the same way when it comes to this idea that we would be willing, says the Ramban, to not be pushed out of a religion by death, rather than go to something else. That if they give us that choice, right, we have to say to ourselves, no, we're not choosing anything else. We're staying with our mate for life. That's the idea. And the Chizkuni says something similar to this Ramban, but that's the basic idea of the Ramban, the famous Ramban that deals with these two animals. The Moshe of Zakenim says the problem with this Ramban is that Bnei Yisrael are typically compared to Yonahs. You'll hear the word that Bnei Yisrael are Nimshalu, they're compared to a Yonah. But a Yonah has a bad midah. It kicks out its mate out of jealousy and marries another mate. That's like us. We're willing to be with other Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We're willing to kick our HaKadosh Baruch Hu out and be with something else. That just sounds ridiculous. How could that possibly be? So the Moshe of Zakenim asked that question. And he answers that pigeons will stay with their mate and be loyal to their mate as long as it's there. As soon as the mate is gone, then everything switches. That's when they will go to somebody else and they'll be willing to take something else. So Chas V'Shalom would be, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be gone, then Bnei Yisrael cannot be without a God. We'd have to find another God. But Chas V'Shalom, that'll never happen. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us, it's still okay. And therefore, a Yonah is a good comparison to Klal Yisrael. They might get rid of their mate after they're gone, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never be gone. and therefore it'll never happen to us, and that's the reason why it's okay. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says this Ramban proves a concept that he had brought up before, a concept that he said, I'm into, and it's all over the place. Sometimes kanos, jealousy, can be a great thing. Sometimes kanos can be a very, very bad thing. It seems like the pigeon is on a very high level. After all, it's mekana, it's mate. It says, I don't want you to be together with other pigeons. I want you to stay away from other pigeons. And that's a good thing. It's mekana in such a way. But in the way, right after, in reality, once it kicks it out, it immediately goes to another bird. That shows that the reason why it kicked it out is really because it wanted to have another bird, not because it was jealous of its mate in a good way. It's clear that something is different, that the bird caused the jealousy to be there. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, jealousy in a bad way, anger in a bad way, is never a good meter. You can never use it for good. It can never be used for anything good. And that's what he says you can prove from right over here. The Ramban says this answers why we cannot bring chickens as korbanos. He says, now you understand why chickens don't work. Now, chickens are, number one, promiscuous. They're willing to be with any mate. They don't stay together with one mate. And we just said that the mila of the pigeon or the dove, even the pigeon in some way, is that it stays with its mate in some place. But the chicken does not do it. Not only that, but it feels no connection to their original nest. They might be easy to capture. After all, chickens are the weakest little animals. You can get them in a second. But they don't have the qualities that are necessary to be a proper korban. Therefore, we have to throw them out. We have to take them out and say, no, you cannot bring a chicken. I would assume the same reason would apply for any type of chicken, and that would go for any species of chicken. Even if you can find a chicken that has a mate that's there, there's still ideas behind it that won't be able to go through. The Otzer Plos HaTorah says, suggests another answer based on Rav Avram Unger, why a chicken won't be able to go through. There's a medrash that says that Jews, dogs, and chickens, all three of those, Jews, dogs, and chickens, are all mechutzafim. They have a tremendous amount of chutzpah, meaning each one of them have an issue that they all have a crazy amount of chutzpah. Obviously, when you're dealing with Jews, we understand that. When you're dealing with dogs, you can understand that. But apparently, says Otzer Plos HaTorah, chickens as well. That's a horrible meat to have. That's not what you want. You don't want to have such a thing. For that reason, it shouldn't have anything to do with the Mizbeach. We want to kick them out from the Mizbeach, keep them away from the Mizbeach. That's exactly what we want to do. Now, Rambam says, Mori Nivuchim, Mori Nivuchim Chelek Gimel Simen Mem Vav. These two birds are chosen. Now, we have another reason. They have the greatest taste. You hear that? He said they have the greatest taste of all birds. You like birds? You like duck? Do you like, I don't know, geese? Geese meat? If you like meat, the pigeons and the dove meat is the absolute best. Okay? And that's the idea. The Ramban argues it cannot be that that's the pshat. The reason why is because pigeons have good meat. You know, those rats that you see in the street, they have good meat. Young pigeons, there's nothing there. They can't be eaten the way that older pigeons can. So if it's all about the taste and not anything else, if it's all about the taste, you would choose older pigeons and older turtle doves. You wouldn't choose younger pigeons. The younger pigeons do not taste as well as the older ones, right? So he says, the Ramban then goes on and he says something awesome. Maybe what the Ramban means is the following. Not that they're good to taste, meaning not that they have a good taste. There's a skula involved in eating them. Listen to this. There's a skula involved in eating pigeons and turtle doves. He said the following. Eating turtle doves improves your intellect, allows your mind to be clear. I have never had a turtle dove before in my life. I have no idea whether that's true or not. But apparently eating turtle doves is going to improve your intellect and make you sharp. Young pigeons are eaten when you have problems with your limbs. He calls it pilgus. Pilgus is when a person has growing pains and they're not growing correctly and their limbs are growing at different levels. So then for those pains, if you have this type of a pigeon, then everything's going to be better. But not a regular pigeon, a younger pigeon. So what he's saying is pshat in the Rambam. What the Rambam means by a good taste does not mean that they literally have a good taste. It means that they're good for eating because there's a segulos involved. That's the idea behind it. And that's the idea that he tries to say in the Rambam itself. The Moshe is getting the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Says the following, both of the Rishonim. He says, Klal Yisrael is compared to birds when they sin. As Hosea says in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph, he calls Ephraim, when they sin, a flying bird. You're flying away from your nest. Klal Yisrael is right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here in front of you, and you're flying away from your nest, he says to Ephraim. That's what he does. When we do good things, we're compared to pigeons. Pigeons. Shira Shirim Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yoina Si Bechag Ve Hasela. My Yona. Again, Klal Yisrael, when they're doing well, is in the cleft of the rock. And Torah is compared to turtle doves. Shira Shirim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud, Navu L'chayayich B'toyrim, Turei Zahav, and Pasuk Yud Aleph. So the word Tur refers to the Torah, the word Yonah refers to Klal Yisrael when they're doing well, and other birds refer to Klal Yisrael when they fly away. These birds will be Mechaper for things we did wrong, B'shogig and B'mezid, and in that school we'll have two Meshichim, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. The ben Yonah referring to Mashiach ben Yosef, that he's still small and still not all as great. And the Mashiach ben David, when things get better and everything seems to be in an awesome level, that's Mashiach ben David. And that's how the Reb Moshe of Zakenim and the Rabbeinu Ephraim, both Rishonim, say that Klal Yisrael are compared to these awesome, awesome birds. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, al derech Kabbalah, that a tur has yesod in mayim, which is chesed. We need the older ones because the chesed should be large. A pigeon, a Yonah, is represented by Eish. By Eish. And therefore the pasuk says, Va'avroseh birakha charutz, gold is the color of the green, or whatever, goes together. That's Midas Adin. And Midas Adin is just a little bit of that. Ben Yonah is chosen instead. That also has to do with what we just said with the Moshe's Kingdom and the Rabbeinu Ephraim. They're connected, that Rabbeinu Bechaya, with what they're saying over there. That Klal Yisrael, when they sin, are like other birds. And when they do well, they become Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, with the Yonah and the Yonah and the Tur. And that idea is Chesed and Din. And again, if we learned it correctly, the Yonah is the Mashiach ben Yosef, which is young, is Midas Adin, and then comes the Tur, which is Chesed, which stands for Mashiach ben David. B'mheirav Yameinu, they should come within the next couple weeks. Panim Yafo says there is a difference between the sheep and goats mentioned earlier, and the birds over here. We were talking about bringing a korban ola. We talked about the bulls, talked about sheep and goats, and then we talked about the birds. That's the order of the psukim in the first parak of the parsha. There the wording is, v'krivu b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim, that the b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim, they are going to be makriv. It's plural. It's mentioned in plural form, that the kohanim are going to bring it. Hikrivu. Over here, the wording is, v'hikrivo ha-kohen. The kohen brings it. And here's the problem. It should be the opposite. Because by sheep and goats, you're only bringing one. It's one sheep, one goat, one bull. Whatever you're bringing as a korban ola is only one. By the birds, usually you're bringing two. So it should be v'hikrivuhu, meaning plural, by the birds, and v'hikrivo, by those animals up above. But it says it the exact opposite way. Why is that? Says the Panim Yafos, these korbanos were difficult for any korban to bring, for any kohen to bring. First of all, the form of shechita was different. The shechita by all their animals we know is regular shechita. By these animals, you had to do malika. Malika is with the little thumb where you look at the kohen, some kohanim still have it even now. They have that weird thumbnail where they have to cut the neck of the bird together with their thumb. Depending if it's a chatas and ola, what to do exactly with it. There's a whole process for it, and you get barely anything from it. Meaning it's not awesome meat, although it's the best meat, according to the Rambam, but you don't get great meat. It's not like a sheep or a goat or a cow where the meat is awesome and you get a ton of it and you can eat a ton. This stuff, there's a tiny little bit. It's not much there. There's not much there. It was just done as a pure mitzvah by the kohen itself. So the kohanim, if they had a choice, if they wanted to have one of the animals versus the birds, what do you think they ran to? What do you think they did? They immediately ran to those big animals. Immediately they ran to the big animals and they said, you can take the bird. You go take that bird. It was more work and less stuff from it. So the kohanim that did it, vihi krivo, it's like one or two or three kohanim were willing to do it. Those who were truly l'shem shemayim, those are the people who ended up doing it. Also, the people who brought the birds, they were poor. It's normally only poor people that bring birds because the other people could afford to bring a sheep or a goat or a cow or something like that. The Panini Kedem says from the Zohar here, that in the future, there will no longer be korbanos from birds. The La'asid level, when the third base of Mikdash is built, we're not going to have korbanos made of birds. And why? Simply put, because nobody will be poor. He quotes this from the Zohar. Everybody will be fabulously wealthy. Everybody will be able to afford to bring a cow and a sheep and a goat. So there won't be any need for the birds itself. And he says, this is pshat in the pasuk. Listen to this pshat in the pasuk. Ve'itiva Hashem bersoncha es tzion, tibaneh chomos yushalayim. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bring back beratzon tzion. You should build back the walls of Yushalayim. Oz yalu al mizbachacha parim. Then you'll bring on the Mizbeach cows. What do you mean, then you'll bring cows? We have other things. What about sheep? What about goats? What about birds? The answer is no. We're going to bring cows because we'll all be able to afford it. That's the pshat behind it. Cows, not birds. That's what we're going to be able to afford. As Nayan LaTorah says something amazing as well. So he says, the pasuk says the word korbano twice. It's the only pasuk in the Torah to do so. Never does the word korbano appear twice in a pasuk except for here. It's because a poor person might say to himself, what point is there of me bringing a little bird? This bird is worth nothing. It's worth a couple dollars. I'm going to bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That guy's bringing a massive 1,400-pound cow, and I'm bringing a less than 13-ounce bird. And there's a compare. You can compare the two of us to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, korbano, korbano. You're a korban because you were poor and you were only able to bring this. That's awesome, says the Zayin Torah. That's what you learn from over here. So although in the future, the Zohar is saying that you're going to bring cows, now, says the Zayin Torah, you get a tremendous bracha that you're able to bring birds. The bird is korbano, korbano, something awesome for him. Now Rashi says, there is no requirement of tamus or zachrus by birds. Meaning, a bird does not have to be tamim. It doesn't have to be perfect completely. It could be a balmum. Not only that, it doesn't have to be male. Usually, most animals that we bring as korbanos have to be brought as males as opposed to females. But this could be brought as a male or a female, and it could be brought not even tamim. Meaning, it could be brought as a regular balmum, like blinded, or a paralyzed leg. You see a bird out there that can't move one of its legs, but otherwise it seems healthy. You can bring that bird. The only thing you can't bring is if it's missing a limb, meaning if it's missing an eye, if its wing dried up, if its leg is cut off, then it's possible. Then you can't bring that bird. You can't bring a mechuser aver to the korba as a korban, but you could bring any type of valmun. And that's what we learn from the words min ha'of. That's what you get from those words, min ha'of itself. It's only by animals that the words tamim and zachor are used, not by the birds itself. And not only that, okay, we're going to see, not only that, since it doesn't have to be male or female, you could even bring a tumtum or androgynous bird. And to be honest with you, I'm not so sure anybody is even checking if the bird is a male, female, or tumtum or androgynous. I don't even know if there is a tumtum androgynous by birds. I think most birds are tumtums in and of themselves. But nonetheless, it is mutter based on the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Toras Kohanim. The Rabbanan argue, right? But there's a huge malbim on this, huge malbim, because the malbim is huge in all of Sefer Vayikra. But he goes on. So there's another thing. Rechi Omechel Feinstein has a whole lumdis in this, and you can look that up in the Grizz. The Chizkuni says a bird can only be brought as an ola, not a shlamin. The Torah Tamima, the Meshech Chachma talk about this, but can only be brought as an ola, not a shlamin. An individual can bring a bird, but not a tzibor. A yachid can bring it, not a tzibor. It can be brought by two people, not just by one person. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh adds on that Malika can only be done by a Kohen. Shechita could be done by anybody. Shechita could be done by any person, even a Zohar. However, when it comes to Nirva, Nevad, Muksa, Chola, Zakin, Guzzel, and Trefa, meaning you can't have those things. Nirva is, we don't have to go into it. But either way, it's not the same as three animals up above. There is no psul for these birds when it comes to these things. And maybe you could learn that there's a psul from the extra Vav, the Imina Oaf. And again, this is all learned out from the Malbim itself, that these seven things may be possible from that extra above, but already right there, you have a huge malbim on it. Still consider a korban l'Hashem, even when it's considered that. Okay, now, there's a Beni Shchai and Od Yosef Chai. And now we're getting into the Remazim. So far we've gone in Pshat, we've explained what these birds are, we've explained how these ideas go through. Now we're going to go into little Remazim. Beni Shchai and Od Yosef Chai says, there are some mitzvahs that we only do by day. Mitzvah you only do by day? By men. There's tzitzis, there's tefillin, we only wear them by day. Okay? You have certain things only by day. Some we do only at night. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim can only be done at night, right? That's it. Eating the Korban Pesach can only be done at night. As a side note, by the way, as a timeout, there are no other mitzvos that are exclusively done at night except on Lel Pesach. Exclusively. Meaning Kriyashma night and day, right? But there are no mitzvos that are exclusively done at night. Can't say Kiddush Levana, that's a Durabana, and you can't say the other, what were you going to say? Marav is not a deal raisa, meaning deal raisa dika mitzvos. And also, if you deal with davening, if you say tefillah altogether, Yishakor is mincha marav. Yeah, what were you going to say? So even so, but the eating of eating in a sukkah can be done during the day as well, exclusively. But that's nowadays. But that's not in the times of the Beis Hamikdash itself. And that's based on, again, it's based on Tesvav on the Gezeirah Shavah based on Pesach. So it's only Leil Pesach Rishon where we have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's why it's only Leil Rishon for Sukkot. It's a little bit different. So either way, regardless, but there are no others that are out there. Some mitzvos are both. They can be done during the day and they can be done at night. For example, saying Kriyat Shema. Right? Now we know, says the Beni Shchai, you're supposed to say Kriyat Shema twice a day. One in the morning, one in the evening. But the truth is, you actually do Kriyat Shema four times a day. Those who see in their Siddur, there's a Kriyat Shema to say by the Korbanos. There's a Kriyat Shema that you say early in the morning by Birchas Kriyat Shema. There's a Kriyat Shema that we say by Mariv. And there's Kriyat Shema Lamita. So there really are four. Says the Beni Shchai, that's why Gemara Shabbos starts off Shtayim Shehein Arba. Yitzios Shabbos, the amount of things that you come out, and he says the word Shabbos refers to Shema. Don't go into that because the Ben Ishchai with Gematrias, and it's just crazy when he gets into Gematrias. But Shabbos stands for Kriya Shema. Yitzios Shabbos, when you want to bring out, say out Shema, Shtayim, it's twice, Shein Arba, which are really four times because we say it four times a day instead of twice in and of itself. And he says that's a remez through the word Shin, the letter Shin. Okay. Long, long thing, and again, it's absolutely unbelievable how the Ben Ishchai does everything. Oph, therefore, doesn't just mean bird. Oph means double. If we're makriv a mitzvah that is double, if we take a mitzvah that is technically double, done day and night, a mitzvah that's not just done during the day, not just done at night, but it's done during the day and at night, if we have such a thing in which we bring something, we do it during the day and at night itself, we could be metaken all of the olamos of the world. Four times you say Kriya Shema during the day, because there are four worlds out there. They're called Abia, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Those four worlds are all metaken by saying this four times a day. There are four letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud, K, Vav, K. Each letter is metaken. Each one is fixed up by saying Kriya Shema one time during the day itself. If you say Shema properly, that's what it's referring to. It says the Ben Ishchai, the oath that we're referring to over here is to double it up. This mitzvah, which is doubled up, referring to Kriya Shema, is what we're referring to. In Adaras Eliyahu, he says, oath refers to the sparks of Kiddusha that are flying through the air wherever you go. There's, well, you can't go anywhere because you're homebound, but wherever you are, there's sparks of Kiddusha that are just waiting to be brought up, completely lost if no one can rein them in and pull them down. I always thought, by the way, I've said this to certain people, I feel like there was so much Kiddusha in our own homes that was completely lost, that the bracha that we have now, that we're not learning and davening in shuls, is that we're doing it in our homes, we're learning and davening in our homes, and we're finding that Kiddusha that's right there in our homes. It's sitting there in our homes, and we're grabbing it for ourselves. Those sparks of Kiddusha, we're grabbing it for ourselves, not even realizing how kadosh our own homes are. We think we have to go to shul in order to daven, in order to learn. You don't. You have it right there in front of you. I thought that that might be the idea behind it over here. So either way, Adaras Eliyahu says that that's the pshat behind what these things refer to. He says, and this is again the Ben Ishchai, he says, Turim, the Tor, refers to those things that the Yetzer Hara tries to get you on. For example, via Suru, it's Eretz Canaan. They wanted to spy out the land of Canaan, so Tor refers to doing something where the Sitra Achra grabs onto you, right, based on a Pasuk, based on that idea by the Meraglim. The word B'nai Yona, you can learn that out from a Pasuk in Sfanya that the Klipos of Sitra Achra can grab onto you. So it's the Yetzer Hara, that's the Tor, the Klipos, with the Sitra Achra, the Satan, that refers to by the B'nai Yonah right over here. When those things are there, you need a Kohen, and that refers to a Talmud Chacham, to come along and help him to the Mizbeach, which is in the base matter, so he can sit and learn and know how to defeat his Yitzhar and those powers of Tumah. And that's how the Adaras Eliyahu learns it. So the combination between those two, the Ben Ishchai and this, is to say that Kriya Shema has the ability to knock out the Tumah that you have within you. And that's the idea of what the birds refer to. The Shach says that this is a remez to someone who doesn't do tshuva until his neshama is ready to fly out of his body and he's ready to die. That refers to a person at the end of his life who's sitting there and still waiting who's going to go. He does a crazy amount over here. The Shach HaLator, if you want to look it up, he goes into where it's referring to Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh, refers to Mila. There's an awesome thing over here. The Chassam Sofer says, all birds' feathers smell horrible. And this isn't really for this shir. This is really about another shir that I'll give eventually about the birds' feathers being taken off and being burned on the Mizbeach. You almost like take the skin and throw it on the Mizbeach itself, which we don't do by the regular animals. So it is interesting over here. But burnt feathers smell horrific because a Yonah represents Klal Yisrael. The wings represent mitzvos that we do. In Shabbos Memtes, we say just like the wings of a Yonah protect the bird, so too mitzvos protect us. When we burn those wings, it's as if we did the mitzvos incorrectly. We're taking the mitzvos and we did them in the wrong way, and that's the reason why we have to work on himself. It's as if to say it's the point where those mitzvos are worse than the averis themselves, and therefore we have to get rid of them. We have to say those mitzvos shouldn't even be done, and we throw them out, so to speak. When you do them in the wrong way, shalol l'shem shamayim, with the worst possible intentions, of course that smells. And he goes on, the Chassam Sofer says an awesome piece, which is not for right now, eventually we'll go to that into the future. Two last things. One is a story, and I'm going to tell the story first, and then I'm going to get into the Chavetzel HaSharon. Aleinu l'shabeach, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, I realize this doesn't have much to do with the actual birds that we're talking about over here, but I feel that it's an amazing story, and Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings it down in Aleinu l'shabeach, so I end this pasuk, so I'm going to say it. Rabbi Akiva Eger used to do Biker Cholim to everyone in Posen. He lived in the city of Posen. Posen now, I think, is on the eastern side of Poland or somewhere around there. I think at the time it was in Russia, but I'm not positive when Rabbi Akiva Eger lived. There was a guy who wasn't feeling well. He was very sick. So he would do Bikkur Cholam by everybody. So he visited this man who had a very serious illness and was not doing well. He walked in and he saw that he had an illness that there was no known cure for. There was nothing that anybody was going to be able to do. And he knew that. And he said, okay, I realize this. I know this isn't going to work. And I realize this is going to be really, really hard. So he told the guys, there's not much we can do here. Then he heard that there was a doctor that was coming into town. This doctor was the doctor of the king. The king's doctor was coming through town, and he was passing by, and he could get a hold of him. So he quickly sent a message, and he said, please tell him, if he can, we have a person here that's very sick. We really need him to heal somebody. Can you bring this guy, can you bring the doctor in? So the doctor agreed. Doctor came in, the king's doctor, he comes in. Not a Jewish guy, but he walks inside, and he heard of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, before Rabbi Akiva Eiger was famous, right? So he walks in, sees this sick man, takes out a stethoscope, looks at him a little bit, and says, this guy's dying. You know there's no known cure for this. There's nothing we can do for this guy. So I don't know why you even called me in. This is just a waste of my time. It's a waste of your time. We're not going to do this. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger turned to the guy and said, before he left, he said, listen, if this is the king, what would you do? Would you say the same thing? If the king was sick with this sickness, what would you do? So the guy thought about it and he said, you know, the truth is, the king did have this sickness. And he did have it before. And I was called in to heal him. And I told him the only way to heal it is by having the meat of a certain bird. If you have the meat of a certain bird, there's a skula behind that meat to be able to heal you from this sickness. But there's no way to get that bird. That bird lives in the desert areas. We're in Posen. We're in the middle of Russia. There's no way you're going to be able to get that bird. It'll be impossible. There's nothing you can do. That's what I told the king back then. So the king sent out a whole army. Sent them out with fast horses and sent them on big ships and brought them. They went, they caught the bird, they brought it back. Within a month, he had the bird and Baruch Hashem, the king was okay, right? I don't think he said Baruch Hashem, but he said everything was okay and the king survived and everything was all good. But what are you going to do for this guy? You can't get this bird. The bird can't come here. So what are you going to do? So unfortunately, this guy's just going to die and there's nothing you can do about it. And then the king's rofe left, the doctor left. Rabbi Akiva Eiger went to the corner and he davened. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the king of all kings, and your children are therefore princes. You would do anything for the prince, wouldn't you? Just like the king is willing to do anything to go get this bird to heal him, please, you're the king, and here's your prince. Won't you do anything to bring us this bird? What will you do to give us this bird? So the king heard that, and he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu heard that. A couple minutes later, I heard a little knock on the window. It would be amazing, by the way, if it was just like the wrong bird, but it wasn't. It was the right bird. Rabbi Akiva Eiger quickly said, open up the window. So he opened up the window. They grabbed the bird. They took it. They shechted it. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, just save me the wings. Everything else you can take away, save me the wings. Right? So they gave the meat to the guy. The guy got better. And they gave the wings over to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The next time that doctor passed by Posen, Rabbi Akiva Eiger heard about it, sent a message, said, quickly, let me go see him. He went to go see him. And he said, do you remember? You told me about that bird. He showed him the wings. The guy said, it's impossible. There's no way you could have gotten that bird this quickly. I was only here a couple of months. There's no way you could have gotten it. Rabbi Akiva Eiger told him the story. He said, there's no way. That's obviously just a story for the Jews themselves. You're obviously a tremendous, and he's saying the praises of that great rabbi for many, many years. Unbelievable story, right? Unbelievable story. Not much to do with the Ben Yonah and the tour, but it's a great story of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I'm an anacle from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I'm eighth generation Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so I count it. So I'll count it for right there. Rebel Yashiv was told this story. What? You think that was too much? I shouldn't have said. No, I want to say. I like the fact that we're Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, anyway, Rebel Yashiv was told this story and said, when he was told this story, he said, go check out Dagos Maimini in Hilchos Machalos Asurus Perek Aleph Halacha Mem. So I looked it up. And Perek Aleph Halacha Mem, he brings down that the Re was visited by a bird called the Kavutz, so you could paskin on it. He paskined on it. He saw it. He saw what it has, and he paskined whether it was kosher or not. We all know the story of Ruchaim Knievsky, and that I have not verified. I don't know for sure. It's said that it's in Derech Emunah. I didn't see it in Derech Emunah, so I don't know, but they say that the locust appeared on his table and just appeared to him so he was able to look at it and see that it was kosher or whatever, or get the simanim down. I wasn't in Derech Emunah. It was a different sefer that he had on the locust. I forgot what it's called, and I have the sefer somewhere. All right, whatever. But either way, regardless, it could be that that's true, but I can't tell you for sure. I can't verify it. What? Not that one. Right? But that's that. But the last thing that I want to say is an amazing piece. This is a really crazy, crazy idea. It'll probably take us another couple minutes. It says the following. Chavatzelis HaSharon quotes the Torah's Kohanim that an Ola requires smicha. Meaning, you have to lean on the animal. You have to take your hands, hold onto the animal, right? And you're supposed to confess your sins. Do vidoy on top of the animal. That's by an Ola. That's my Nola. Even though an Ola isn't necessarily brought for sins, it could be an Adava. Nonetheless, it is brought for mitzvos aseh that you might have done wrong, possibly a lav shenitik laaseh, right? There are other things that you could bring a korban Ola for, so perhaps that's the idea, but you do vidui on top of it. But not an Ola sa'of. Not an Ola sa'of. Right? That's that. The Rambam Paskins la'alacha, Maisa korbanos, paragimel halacha zayin, you do not do smicha on birds. The Rush in Yuma, Perikhes, Halacha Chav Gimel, I made a mistake here, I wrote Bichav Gimel, brings the Tshuvas HaGaonim. Tshuvas HaGaonim says there's a minig by Kaparos, and I have never seen this done. If anyone's seen this done, I'd love to hear about it. There's a minig by Kaparos, an Erev Yom Kippur, to put your hand on the head of the chicken, to do smicha on the chicken. Smicha, I'm a lefty, that's why I'm using my left hand. But you do smicha on the chicken, and then you shecht it immediately afterward. Take a l'shchita, l'smicha, shchita, you shecht it immediately afterward. So for the kaparos, you do smicha, and then you do shchita. What a pella! First of all, you can't bring chickens as korbanos. So you can't do that anyway, right? That's 100%. That's number one. Number two, I don't understand. You can't do smicha on birds. Smicha isn't done on birds. So what in the world are we doing? What kind of a minig is this? Even if the chicken was a korban, we don't do smicha. So if Shlomo Eger in his Shilos V'tshuva, this is Rabbi Kiv Eger's son, Gilyan Marsha, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm not related to him though, right? In Chelik Aleph Simon Beis Daf Kuf Tzadi, says it doesn't require smicha. But if you want to do smicha, you can. Right? Perhaps they did smicha on birds at the bar, but they didn't need to. It's not like women who did smicha. Women were allowed, nashim are rishus, although there's a shaila, it could be that nashim shouldn't do so, but that's another issue. Whether women should or should not do smicha, that's another issue altogether. But regardless, when it comes to smicha on birds, it seems like you don't need to, but you can if you want to. But that leads to another question. The Gemara in Tzvachim, Daf Lama Gimel and Aleph, and it's in other places, says very clearly that smicha must be done b'kol kocho. What that means is when you do smicha, you can't just put your hand on it and just go like that. You have to do smicha. You have to hold down on top of the animal, lean your entire body on the animal, that if the animal would be taken away, you'd fall over. That's what you have to do. You have to do full smicha on the animal itself. If that's so, it is absolutely impossible to do smicha on birds. If you did that on a bird, you'd kill it in 3 seconds. 3 seconds. It would be dead. You can't do b'kol kocho. It would die just like that. Now, what's even funnier is there's a balaturim. Balaturim says in Paragimel Pasuk Beis in this week's Parsha, says there's a difference in the smicha of a cow and the smicha of a sheep and a goat. It says by cows it says v'samach yado. By sheep and goats it says v'samach es yado. Again, by a cow, v'samach yado. By a sheep and a goat it says v'samach es yado with an extra S. He says this is because cows can handle smicha. If you lean on a cow, it'll be able to handle it. That'll be okay. There's no issue whatsoever. But sheep and goats cannot. If you lean with all of your strength, you're going to kill the sheep and the goat. The S indicates that you should be a little bit lighter. Don't do it full power. Do it half power. And do smicha only lightly. But hold on. The Balaturim is darshaning that out of a pasuk. It's a great drush, right? It makes a lot of sense. V'samach yodav v'samach es yodav. So you lean hard on one, you don't lean hard on the other. But the Gemara in Tzvachim doesn't differentiate. We paskin lahalacha in the Rambam that you do smicha b'kol kocho. You have to do smicha with all of your strength. You cannot do half strength. You have to do smicha with all of your power. Everything there. So I don't understand. If you do that, how could the Balaturim even say this? How could he do that? It's clear the Balaturim holds. You don't have to do smicha with all of your strength. You could buy a cow, but you don't have to buy the sheep and the goats. That's clearly what he says. But that's against the Rambam. It's not against the Tur. The Tur did not write a sefer on korbanos that we know of. The Tur didn't write, so it's not against anything that he himself wrote. But it's against the Rambam, and it's against the Gemara. You should know there's a Tosfos in Pesachim, Pei Tesem Aleph, and in Chagiga, Tezainim Abeis, that says it's machlokis tanoim if smicha is b'kol kocho or not. The Gemara in Tzvachim says straight out that it's b'kol kocho. But Tosfos brings down in two different places, it's a machlokis, whether it has to be done by kol kocho or not. We don't see this machlokis anywhere in Shas or Yerushalmi. Maybe it's in the Midrashim somewhere, but it's not in Shas or Yerushalmi. Maybe the Balaturim is going with those unnamed Tanoim that we don't even know who they are, that Tosfos brings, that hold that you don't need by kol kocho. But the Chavetzelos HaSharon, this Sefer, brings down two answers. That smicha has two aspects to it. There's almost like two dinim by smicha. A korban requires, and that'll answer as to what we could do with the birds, etc. A korban requires smicha. That must be b'kol kocho. The korban itself requires smicha. You have to do smicha on an animal, and it must be done b'kol kocho. That is absolute. But number two, for vidui, your confessional, you don't need it to be b'kol kocho. Your confessional could take a while. I don't know how many sins you've done. You don't have to be b'kol kochel the whole time that you're doing vidui. You just have to do smicha, but it doesn't have to be b'kol kochel. Maybe that's the answer to the problem over here. The first chiyuv, that the animal requires smicha, must be done b'kol kochel. But that could be done in 1 second. You lean really hard on a cow. You lean really hard on the sheep. You lean really hard on the goat for a second, and then you let go. Because the sheep and goats can't handle it. The second smicha, which is your vidui smicha, the second chiyuv of smicha, it could be, and it could be connected, it's not like you have to lean once and then lean twice, it all could be one leaning, that could be done a little bit differently. That could be done a little bit differently. By sheep, you can let go a little bit. By goats, you can let go a little bit. By a cow, you could stay hard on top of it. So there's a chiyuv of b'kol kochel for a second, and that's the Gemara in Zvachim. And then there's another thing that might be a machlokas tonight, whether you have to do that. That's a second aspect of what smicha could be. By birds, maybe there isn't the first aspect. You get what I'm saying? B'kol kochel is impossible. You can't do that by birds. Maybe there's a second aspect. Maybe there's a second aspect. For that, the Gemara says, ha'ola, by a regular ola of animals you do smicha, by birds you do not. Maybe you'd think that you should do smicha by birds. Maybe you'd think that way. Because there's a second aspect. You can't do the first one. It's impossible. You'll kill it. But you could do the not b'kol kochel part of smicha. Maybe you should do that. That's why the pasuk comes and tells us, no, by birds you don't have smicha at all. You don't have smicha at all. You cannot do even the second part of smicha. So that's the pshat behind it. Why birds are told over here that you can't do smicha on them, but in some aspect there's something to them, something that's a little bit different. Maybe there's a second aspect of smicha. There's one b'kol kochel and one that's not as b'kol kochel. That's an unbelievable idea from the Chavos El Sharon. I have to check up more parts of this to see if everything goes through. Unfortunately, I didn't have that much time this week, even though I was at home most of the time. I have kids. But unfortunately, I didn't have all the time in the world to look it through, but I thought that this works out really well. I looked it up within the Gemara Zvachim Lama. So far, the way that I'm learning, it seems like it could possibly work, but this is the concept behind it. If we're right, guys, this is an unbelievable little pshat, something that we really can't understand within this. So what do we do today? We explained what the Tur and the Ben Yonah were. We went into what exactly they were, why those are the only two korbanos that can be used, why those over anything else. We mentioned some differences between the Tur and the Ben Yonah from all the other animals, the differences between all those different things and how they're understood from over here. We went through the Ramazim of the Ben Ish Chai, the Shach, the Chsam Sofer. We mentioned a story of Rebbe Kiva Eger with a bird, even though it didn't have to do with this, but it was brought down over here. And a Chavetzelis HaSharon that brought down whether you can do smicha on these birds or not, whether there's such an aspect. Shkaich, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great Shabbos.